I recognize that. This is traditionally the service where you want to hear about healing. And I have a message on healing, but it's maybe not your typical one. Before I get started, I want to introduce myself as Brother Fari Matthews. I'm from California, from the Pacoima congregation. I'm under Brother Paul Phillips. And I live in the second largest city in the world, in our nation, Los Angeles. There's definitely a lot of wickedness there, but there's wickedness everywhere. And there's also the Holy Spirit there. And before I get started, I wanted to also say that I appreciate the love and the love of the saints. At the first of this year, I lost my mother, and that's definitely a difficulty to go through. But we felt all of the prayers from all over the place. People showed up to her memorial that I was not expecting to be there. And so your love, it was definitely felt. And as has been said here, and oftentimes many times before, there is no love like the love that is expressed by God's people. I wanted to ask you a question. It's kind of a literal question and a rhetorical question, and that is, why are you here? I know that many people make it an annual tradition to come here to Monarch. And why are you here at this service? Well, there's a purpose for this service, isn't it? We are fasting, and we are we're looking for God to come down among us and to touch us and to bless us and to do something maybe that he's never even done before. Or just because he's worked so greatly in the past does not mean that his power is gone. He's still God. He still does what is necessary and needful for a world. But then I want to ask you, kind of taking that same question, thinking about, why are you here? What is your purpose? Meaning, why are you on this earth? Why has God allowed you to be placed in the place where you are, the family you are in, the locality where you live? Why are you here? There is a purpose in us being both in this place today. You know, you heard the voice of God and he said, I want you to be there. Or some people maybe were just coming, like was just said, just coming to kind of check it out and kind of be maybe critical or say, I don't really believe that. But some kind of way, the Spirit has led you here. But he's also, for a purpose, placed you here on this earth. You know, there is a purpose to us being here, but there's a purpose to us being here in the world. And hopefully, if you are here today and you are not fulfilling the purpose of God, then hopefully, I believe that this message will be for you. I believe it's for the pulpit and the pew. It's for the saints, for the sinner. It's for everyone. We all need to, we want God to work for us, and he has worked, and he does continue to work, but to me, there are places where we can help to represent him better. Recently, a little over 2 months ago, a young man walked into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and massacred 10 people. And then less than about 10 days later, I believe, in Texas, a young man walked into a fourth grade classroom and killed 19 students and two teachers after already having shot his grandmother. And unless you're living under a rock somewhere, most of us have heard about this. And my heart was heavy. I'm not here to make a statement on, you know, gun rights or any of that kind of thing, or mental illness or any of those types of things, but my heart was heavy for the world, because not only have we been dealing with that, we're dealing with wars, we're dealing with pestilence, we're dealing with, you see all the things that the scripture says, when the end times are near, these things will be happening. And we are aware, we can see those things and understand that, as we've already heard in this meeting, time is short, time is running out. What is God doing with you? What is he doing with me? And he woke me up one morning, shortly thereafter, after these events, and he told me something, And he told me that this was for his people. And I want to share this with you. He said that we live in a broken world. Pardon my handwriting there, but hopefully you can read that. We live in a broken world. The world is not really exemplifying what you would find in the scriptures. Mankind is fighting against man, but that's nothing new. That's in the scriptures. People are pursuing heavily their own way, their own mores, their own iniquities, if you will. That's what the Bible calls it. Everyone, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what we're doing. We live in a broken world. And you know, the world has, in a sense, since the fall of mankind, has always been broken. It's always been broken. So what he didn't tell me only that we live in a broken world, but he told me a broken world needs a healed church. So, this may not be your traditional faith or healing of the body message. As we heard, we've already heard it numerous times, even in this service. There is so much that God has for us, not just physical healing. A lot of times we focus on that. But even as was spoken before prayer, healing of the mind, healing of the emotions, healing of relationships, healing of, and as we even heard yesterday morning, and you might want to call this the part two, but I'm going to focus a little bit more on your purpose and my purpose and what God has called us to as his bride. There have always been rebellious people in the world. We see, in my notes I put, a craven despot right now is affecting the entire world. You know, he decides he wants some territory, and so now gas prices go up all around the world. Oil goes up. Someone decides that, we have a pandemic we've been going through for almost, it seems such a long time, but really it's only been a little over 2 years. And then you see all the turmoil that comes from all these various things. The world, and then you see the events, some of the ones that I mentioned, and you know that you're in your heart, you can witness the world is broken. Yes. People are broken. But the world needs a whole and a healed church. I would like to give you a little bit of a background. I'd like to paint a word picture. And I'd like to start in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 and then verses 16 through 20. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." So that paints a picture of all different types of symptoms of sin. These are the symptoms of sin. But as we heard last night, out of the heart is what causes mankind to do the things that he does. What is in a man's heart? If he has sin in his heart, there will be various symptoms, and that leads to the brokenness that is in the world today. However, in verse 16 of that same chapter, verses 16 through 20, he says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay, recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." So I want to tell you a story today. As the prophet Isaiah was speaking here, talking about, in a sense, actually his people, but really the world, but sometimes what's going on in the world is among God's people. But in verse 20 here, he says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion." So I want to tell you a story of a powerful father who has arranged a marriage for his conquering son. And he gave this son two things. He said, "I'm going to send you to go find, I've arranged a marriage, I have a bride for you, and I need you to do two things." The first thing he said is, "I want you to pay a dowry." You know what a dowry is? Historically, down through the years in marriage, there have been dowries given. Oftentimes, the bride's family will pay the dowry. There are some societies where the groom's parents will pay the dowry to purchase the bride. Anyway, in this instance, this powerful father, he said, "I'm going to have you purchase. Pay the dowry so that you can bring this bride back." This woman, this person who actually was in decay, was in sin, was cast down, did not have a great name at all. But he said, you go buy her, and that's going to be your bride. So the son did this. You know, he desired a bride. He looked everywhere. In one place it says he looked everywhere, and he didn't find anyone who was worthy. So he sent his son to pay the dowry necessary to redeem himself a bride, and he lifted that bride from her corruption to take on his name and his character. So when that son came to earth to do what his father had asked him to do, he spoke about his bride. And he told her, he said, we've already heard it in this meeting, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." Now in the Hebrew tradition, when Jesus was speaking this, in the Hebrew tradition, a patriarchal society, most of the people lived under their father until their father passed away. So young grooms, when they were to marry a young woman who was, maybe it was an arranged marriage or maybe they had found a bride, they would enter into contract, and the groom would pay his dowry, and then he would return back to his father's home to begin building an addition for he and his bride to live in. So when Jesus was here, he told us that he was going to prepare a place for us. And that was the second thing that his father had commissioned him to do. You pay the dowry, and then you come back and you prepare a place for your bride. And so he did that. He died. He gave his entire life, his whole life. We heard his blood, his side was pierced. Blood and water ran out. And when we sing about the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are singing about how much God loved us, how much his son loved us, that he was willing to condescend to human estate, to raise us up into heavenly places, to allow us to take on his name and his character, to become the bride of Christ. That's what we're, when we sing, when you raise your hand about salvation, you understand what God has done for you. He has not done something that is insignificant. He has done something that is, it is life-changing. It is impactful. It is, there's nothing more powerful than what he did to restore us, to lift us up, to bring us from the place where we chose to fall. Now he has said, all those things, all those curses, everything that came from you falling, I've come to restore and to redeem and to save. So it says here, the Redeemer has come to Zion. The Redeemer is, he has waged war against Satan, against death, against hell, against the grave. He has conquered all those things. He didn't just only pay the dowry, but he was risen through the power of his Father, in his Father's name. And he said, before he left, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Yes. And then he said, and I'm giving it to you. Yes. That's what he said. As my bride, as my betrothed, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you, but I am going to send you a comforter. I'm going to give you the authority that you need in order to be conquering just like I have conquered. You are going to have power. And he listed names. He said, you're going to have power over serpents. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to spread it everywhere in the entire world. And over 2,000 years ago, what he decreed is still happening. It is still happening. Those who are anointed and under the weight of the Holy Spirit, which he has sent to be his representative, or to, in a sense, be in place of him, because he's not here. He's preparing a place for us. That authority still exists in the world today. Even with a broken world, that authority is never changed. It has always been, and it still is here. So, in our contract, in our betrothal, he paid the dowry, what was sufficient to buy back his bride. And in one of our songs, it says, Jesus gave his life to purchase for himself a spotless bride. All who fear him and obey him, cleansed beneath the crimson tide, I believe. He overcame the forces of hell and has now ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. However, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, and he sent the Holy Spirit. So right now, continuing on in this picture, I'm sure most of you are familiar with it, the Son is currently preparing the home that he will share with his bride. He doesn't even know himself, actually. He even said in one place, in Mark 13 and 32, he says, no man knoweth, no, not even the Son knows, when the Father says, everything is ready, go down and get your bride. Yeah. Only the Father knows that. But while he is preparing, and in a sense we even heard he's tarrying, you know, time is short. We're really on borrowed time, as was already spoken. What the bride has been commissioned to do is actually to make herself ready. To make herself ready. Well, what does making yourself ready mean? Well, we've been cleaned. When you enter into the church of God, the bride of Christ, you have been cleaned up. God has, through the precious blood of Jesus, who is our husband, we have been brought into his bosom, and we are allowed to sit with him in heavenly places. We are given his power, his authority, and so we also take on his identity. His identity. You know, humankind, a lot of what's going on in the world today is they don't know who they belong to or who they should belong to. They don't know who they can belong to. But the bride, she knows who she belongs to. She knows that her identity is in her husband's name. The Son, who has been called Christ, that is his, we say Jesus Christ, but you know Christ, do you know what Christ means? In so many words, it means the anointed one. He was anointed. He was the Jesus that was commissioned, called, sent by God to pay the dowry for his bride. Well, guess what? Do you know that the bride has the name Christ as well? We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride. We are the anointed. We have been commissioned by our husband and our heavenly Father to be the one that makes the world tolerable, as Jesus said. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, how can the world be tolerable? Right. if the salt isn't tolerable, if it's not making everything able to be, you know, at some point God's going to say, there's not enough of my bride still in the world for the world to reign. And he's going to say, all right, it's time for you to go get her. But right now, while he tarries, we have a commission. We have a mission. We who have been restored, we who have been redeemed, our husband who has conquered all things and is Lord of lords and King of kings, he's given to his chosen bride. We are his anointed. He's given to us the same power that he had. The same power. So when Jesus was able to command and decree to demons, when he was able to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or is it easier to say, take up your bed and walk? When he told that man at the pool of Siloam, will you be made whole? When he came, that man thought that, it's not the season. You know, the angels haven't come down and troubled the waters yet. But and Jesus said there in that 14th chapter, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You know, we when we have access to the Holy Spirit, when we are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there is no limits to what God can do in our assemblies, and there is no limits to what God can do in each one of us individually if you are called to the purpose for which God has called you. Just like I'm married, and I have a bride, and when we first got married over 20 years ago, there were a few things that took place. She changed her name. You know, she had to go down to the Social Security office and stand in a nice long line and change her name from Clay to Matthews. We had to go down to the bank, and while I had checks, we opened a joint account, and she put her name on the account with me. So today, when I write a check, on my checks it says, Bari A. Matthews, and underneath it says, Bonnie Matthews. And when I write a check, the bank doesn't say, and I sign my name, they say, oh yeah, that's your account. We'll negotiate this check with whoever I've written the check for or given money to, and they will pay the money. The bank doesn't say, when my wife writes a check, oh no, you're not Fari Matthews. We're not gonna honor this check. No, when she signs her name, the same money comes out of the same account with the same power and the same authority that I have. Can I say that again? She has the same authority that I have. God's church has the same authority that was given to Jesus Christ. We do not have to limit ourselves or live below where God has raised us to sit. However, I like to refer, I'm a singer, I refer to songs. And I love that portion of verse in number 200 that says, one we hail as king immortal. He did earth and hell subdue. And bequeathing us his glory, we are kings anointed too. Or if you want to stay with the word picture today, the church of God is a conquering queen. We are the bride of Christ. We have not lost the power that God has given to his people. However, and so while he is tarrying, we are adorning ourselves. We are making ourselves ready. We are preparing to be received unto him. Where I am, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's taking us to our new home. While time is short, though, He has left us with a commission. And there may be some things that while the bridegroom tarries, you know, there are temptations that the bride has to overcome. You know, while he tarries, we already heard in this meeting about the 10 virgins. They were all virgins. They were all under the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit. At some point, all of them had oil. But they slumbered. In fact, all of them slumbered and slept. That should be a warning to God's people. Don't go to sleep. And we live in a sleepy age. Maybe not even in just a sleepy age. We live in a rebellious age. We live in a place where if you are not careful, Jesus said in one place, if it were possible, even the very elect, the chosen ones, the ones I have selected to be my bride, they might almost fall. So you have to understand the carefulness that God has called his people to. The awakeness to which he has called us. We must remain vigilant. But there is the temptation to not be vigilant. There is the temptation to allow things that are in the world to creep in. There is a temptation to not always be about our Father's business, to allow other things to creep in and take first place, as we heard last night, to not have him be number one, not necessarily have the same commission and purpose which Jesus himself had. There are many warnings in the scriptures of keeping vigilant and not falling asleep, most of them from Christ himself. So we have to fight complacency. We have to fight a lack of urgency. You know, when time is running out, do you know that you feel an urgency? You feel something that drives you and impels you to do the things that you know you must do. If I told you today that you had one more day on this earth, every single one of us here in, under here and even on the live stream and wherever else, if I told any human being you have one day left, a lot of people would kind of have a list of what they like to do. I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then, okay, yes, okay, I'm ready to go. Some people may have already done their list, and they're like, I'm ready to go right now. But a lot of people are kind of, in a sense, they're tarrying because the bridegroom is tarrying. They're not about their Father's business, and we have to fight complacency. There are warnings of the bride forgetting her purpose. You know, Jesus gave a parable, and he said, the man of the house, he gave his duties to his men servants and his maid servants, and then one man servant began to beat on all the other servants. You know, and then the bridegroom came unawares, and then he gave a picture. He said, in hell, that's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. People who he had commissioned to do things, and then as they were, there was enmity, not unity. There were things that were gumming up the works, so to speak, in his kingdom. Things were not being done the way that he desired them to be done. We have to fight that. We have to say, Lord, what is your purpose for me? I am your bride. I am part of your bride. How do I impact the world around me? Am I doing what you have called me to do? Am I busy about my Father's business, about doing the business that my husband has told me while I'm waiting for him? Am I doing that? We have to fight. In the scriptures, there are warnings about the bride cheating on her husband. You know, going off in adultery. And you know, in the world today, many people who call themselves Christ, they are gone off and are adultering themselves. They are not adhering to the standards of their husband. They are not following after what he has told them to do. Well, these are things that the bride has to fight. These are things that, well, let me be clear, the bride is pure and holy. But the question is, are you part of the bride? You know, the bride will always be pure and holy, and she will be received unto her husband. Jesus is coming to receive unto himself a glorious bride, a glorious church. But where are you and I? Have we begun to beat our manservant? Are we having issues among us where I cannot, some people, they say, well, I just can't do it. And sometimes you even have it even in the local congregation. I can't handle or be around that person. I have a little bit of a problem with them. Maybe they rubbed you the wrong way or said something not quite right. And you just don't have the fruit of the Spirit or the grace to be able to be long-suffering with them. Well, have mercy. How are we going to be a great picture to the world around us if we can't be exhibiting the graces that are our husband's graces that he has given to us to exhibit? How is a broken world fixed? You know, there's a song that I learned when I was younger, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And that is so true. Jesus is the answer. But you want to know something? How is Jesus the answer? How does Jesus solve the world's problems? You know, most of the time, he doesn't, a great majority of the time, it's not all the time. He does sometimes speak to us in audible voice directly from heaven. I haven't had too many of those instances in my life. I have had where the Holy Spirit has talked to me, and I was certain that it was him talking to me, but I've never really heard just a little audible voice, like, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. I haven't heard that. I haven't had a light strike me down like Paul had on the road to Damascus. But I have felt and known and know that the Spirit of God exists. Do you know how I know? Because He exists in human beings. And when a human touches another human being, that is how the world is changed. The purpose of the church is that God fixes a broken world through the bride of His Son, Jesus Christ. His church. That is you and that is me. That's how God fixes the world. He heals you that you might heal someone else. He regularly uses word pictures, or we might call them examples, of His healing power. So I take my mother, for instance. She was a sinner, and she sinned well. But he redeemed her. And she taught me what I know about God. And so now that she's gone on to her reward, I'm still here, but I know what I have been taught is true and real because I came to experience that love of God myself through her, through both of my parents, through the congregation that I grew up in, through the world around me, and then ultimately through Jesus Christ Himself, saying, I have drawn you, I have loved you. And in Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Love and kindness have I drawn you. And he wants us to feel and to know you are mine. You are my identity. And once I have redeemed you, we stand that we are an example to others, and they say, I want that. I want that. Wow, look what God has done for that person. And a lot of times we know that where they were. We know where they were. And now they have been raised, they have been changed, and they are sitting in heavenly places. And the heart yearns, I want that too. I want that too. And you know what? A lot of times, maybe we can be afar off and we can view people from afar off. But a lot of times, God has placed you where you are to touch the people that you rub shoulders with. We already heard this yesterday, and I actually was able to tell Brother Darrell after his message that he touched on quite a bit of what I felt the Lord wanted me to say. But he made a statement at the end of his message. He said, hurt people, hurt people. And God said, hurt people, or you might even say broken people, break people. You know, in the world today, so much brokenness, so much... Just, you can see the ruin that Satan is making of people's lives. And it's sad to say, but sometimes you can even see some brokenness, even among God's people. There, we need healing. And sometimes you kind of wonder, Lord, why aren't you blessing us quite like you would desire? We know that there is no limit to your power. I was talking to a brother right before this meeting, and the Lord had given me an impression, a message to our congregation a couple of years ago. And he told me that, you know, the people of God, they never really, the literal children of Israel, they never claimed everything that God wanted them to have. When I was reading in that first and second chapter of Judges, and I came to tears at how they never, though they had the pillar of cloud and the fire, they had the promises of God. A couple of them said, yes, we believe. When they first went to the land of Canaan, Caleb and Joshua were like, we are well able to take this. We are well able. We can go in and we know God is with us. And then all the others, they looked at the circumstances and they said, we can't do this. They lamented. It's like they blamed God. Like He didn't have power. And they didn't believe. And God said, well, because you don't believe, none of you are going to go over save my servant Joshua, servants Joshua and Caleb. And they got to go, even though they were not of that. They were older than 20 years old. Everybody 20 and below, they got to go. Everybody 20 and up had to die, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness, the Bible says. For unbelief. You know, sometimes God's people, we don't have the faith that He's still the same today. We have lost our identity. We don't always understand that everything that God has in His Word is for us. It hasn't, the day of miracles is still here. It is not past. It is the day, and honestly, when you live in the presence of God, it's hard for me to even call it a miracle. It is supposed to be regular. You know what God does? When you are in touch with God, He touches. You're out of this world. Your situation is touched by something out of this world. We live in a world that's broken, but we reign in a world that has all power. That has all power unto from heaven and earth is given unto me, and I command you to tread out scorpions, to cast out demons. All these things are in the church. Sometimes we might have to do like we're doing today. Jesus said in one place, comes out by some prayer. I heard that was early in this meeting. You know, sometimes we have to fast and pray to have the power of God working as it should. Well, let us do that. Let us not be slack. Let us not be complacent. Let us understand that we are the healing to the world. But we have to first be, how can something that is broken heal? Let me be clear. There are those who are doing the will of God to the best of their ability, and they are healed. All of us have some places where God's got to fix us and heal us, but when you have been healed to some extent, you are mature in Him, and you understand how to lift Him up, how to praise the name of Christ, how to be anointed like Him. There should be people who see you and are healed by seeing you, by knowing you, by being in your presence, by feeling the prayers that you pray over them. They don't even have to know. You can pray for a situation. No one, I for a couple of years, I rode a bus to my place of employment, and sometimes God just gave me the impression to pray for everybody on that bus, and they had no idea that someone who knew God, and maybe some of them did, but He just told me, pray for that person sitting right there. I don't know what's going on in their life, but when He impressed me, you know, I believe God touched them. Because when you hear from the Holy Spirit, we don't have to know what the Spirit is doing. We don't have to know how He's going to resolve a situation or fix, or we don't know what's coming into a person's life. But if we are doing what God has called us to do, the world will be healed. So, staying here in Isaiah, turning to the 61st chapter, look at the office of Jesus Christ. And He also, when He was here on earth, he referred to this passage Himself there in Luke, the 14th chapter. But this is what He said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now we say this was in my own Bible, it says this was the office of Christ. But I want to expand your horizons this morning. This is your office. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon His church, that she might proclaim liberty to the captives, that she might bind up the brokenhearted, that she might open the prison walls, that she might, where people are bound, where He has commissioned us as His church to use and to reign with the authority that He has given us to heal the world. To heal your little place where God has placed you. Whether you're a mother with children and He's given you those souls, or a father who has a family, or a minister who has a congregation, or a teacher who has a classroom, wherever you on your job. That is your mission field. I believe He does send us to other countries and things. But ultimately, every single one of us has a commission, has a mission, has a place where God has placed us. And we sing, "He has placed me just where He would have me, and ready for service I stand. I am only an earthen vessel." We sing that. And we lift our hands to that. This morning, look into your heart and say, how ready for service are you? How ready for service are you? Is God using you in the place where He has placed you? Are you ready for His service? Do you have His identity? Or are you broken? Are there some places in your life where even though you say you're saved and sanctified, Are there some places where we heard about the heart last night, where you really can't unlock everything until you unlock each one of those letters that Brother Rodney put up on the board? And that's where the fullness of the Spirit comes. That's where the whole, that's where the church will be whole and complete. When each one of us has yielded completely, absolutely, surrendered fully, and don't have any reservation. We've heard that a number of times recently. When we yield to Him, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to overflow, you know, the Holy Spirit cannot be contained. It cannot be contained. Jesus said, if any man come after me and thirst, and thirsty, if he drinks, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's living water, and it's flowing, and it is going to come out of your belly. And in other places it says, it's springing up a well into everlasting life. We sang a song the other night, salvation's free, glad joy to all. You know, from wells of everlasting joy, our faith, our strength by faith we bring. It can make the dumb heart sing. These things are in God's kingdom. And you know, there are those who are experiencing those today. There are those who may not be experiencing that full well of joy. Maybe because there's a part of us, we still have it in reservation. We still don't want God to touch that little hurt that we heard about yesterday. We're not willing to just say, God, just take me completely. Lord, where these places where I'm having problems. I remember I can't forgive that person. Let Him take that. Because do you know it is unforgiveness that can gum up the works of God's kingdom? It is non-holiness. It is letting down what he teaches in His scriptures and saying, well, He won't mind this for me. But I'm reminded of our pastor has said, you know, if every person got to bring one sin into heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. You know, because I'd have my sin, you'd have your sin. We have to say, God, I give it up. Yes. Lord, I lay my burdens at your feet. Yes. This place where I'm trying to hold on. You know, my father wrote a song. For the things that I kept holding to were the things that made my heart to cry. Yes. We can be broken. We can know, and when we're honest, I believe Brother Daryl used that term yesterday morning, we have to be honest with ourselves. But when you are honest, you can inspect yourself and say, because the Spirit is dealing with you. He convicts. God doesn't leave people alone when they need His help. He lets them know, I can help you. Just why don't you let me touch, when I touch that thing, why don't you just, I can fix it. But kind of like little children, remember when you got a splinter and it kind of hurt, and then your mom or your dad said, you know, let me pull that out. And you're like, no, I don't want that. No, don't touch that. Until you find out, you feel a lot better after it's pulled out. Even if there's a little blood or whatever, you know, wind it up, rinse it off, and you'll be fine. But if you leave it there, one time I had one that went so deep, it was hard to pull out. And it kind of just stayed in my thumb for months, almost a year, until the Lord finally helped it come out. But that was a painful bruise. Every single time I was in school and every single time I went to write, my thumb hurt. But once it was removed and I was made whole, my whole, you know, in one place in the scriptures, Paul himself says, you know, when one little part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. When the church is hurting, the world hurts. But a broken world needs a healed church. We are God's people. We are the only remedy for the world. You are the only remedy for the area where God has placed you. If we aren't doing what God has called us to do in our places, if we are still harboring our little hurts, our little unforgivenesses, our little the superiority complexes that sometimes we have, you know, we exhibit those in various ways, you know. We have a lot of socioeconomic levels in our society, even without being named. You know, gender, ethnicity, financial status, locality. You know, and sometimes even that's in the church. Like, well, you know, I don't know about that congregation out there. They're, We're doing well here. Well, let me tell you something. We are all only earthen vessels. If it wasn't for God, wherever you are, there would be nothing you have to offer. There would be nothing that you have to offer. If you have Him abiding in you, wherever you are, you have everything to offer. You have the remedy for the world. God is not just some figment of imagination. He is a spirit. But the way that the Spirit of God moves in the world, He does do things, what we call miracles, miraculous things, but He moves through His people. We already heard it. The Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, when He came down, and then if you go further into the Acts, He literally picked up a man and put him in the desert. Or no, he went and joined himself to a man in the desert. And then after he was baptized, he literally, some kind of way, was found preaching somewhere else. Now, I don't know if the Spirit's going to do that again, but He can. What God has and what He wants to do in today's time, as the world grows darker and darker and more broken and more distressed, I feel like the light of the gospel and the power of the gospel in God's people should be burning and bright, more bright and more bright unto a perfect day, to where the world has to be able to see if we're here. If you individually are still here, there's a reason you're still here. If the world is still here, it's because God's people still have a duty to do. So, I have some questions. Are you, even as a part of the bride of Christ, are you broken in some places where you're breaking people? Have you been healed in those places? Are you willing to be vulnerable and come to God and say, we sing another song, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? Won't you allow God to make you whole? Will you be made whole? Will you be made complete in Him? Complete people is what the world needs. Complete people. People who are emotionally mature, people who are physically ordained of God, and no matter what He takes all of us, of all our different body types and different physical attributes, and we all minister just by who you are. You know, God made you like you are for His son. You know, his bride's going to have all kinds of personalities, all kinds of physical characteristics. We all don't look like each other on purpose, because where He has placed us is to be a representation of Him, and we all look, you know, heaven will be beautiful because it will reflect everything that God made for His son. And He said, I want a beautiful bride for my son. We're living right now in a pandemic. And it gave me an illustration. First let me read my last scripture. Jude, verse 20 to 23. And then I believe I'll be finished. Jude 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So this is his encouragement to those he was writing this letter to. And it made me think of, as we said, the office of Jesus is also the office of His church. And it made me think of the song, The Lord is Coming. In one place it says, now are many running to and fro, spreading holiness around. As the evening light begins to glow, ready for the trumpet sound, or something like that. We know about spread today, don't we? You know, we're in a worldwide pandemic where something started in just a little region of the world. And within a few short weeks, it was explosive. And within months, you know, people have passed away. Some of God's people have even passed away. People are suffering. We hear requests almost every time I come to service. Seems like we hear about somebody who has it. And it pops up and it goes back down. How are diseases spread? You know the most common way? By touch. By touch. Well, guess what? God's people are supposed to be spreading something else. Yeah. Now are many running to and fro. That is that urgency. I don't have a whole lot of time here. I don't even know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. But while I'm here today, I am running around. I am not worrying about, I don't worry too much about my bills. The Lord's going to take care of that. He has placed you, when you follow God, do you know you don't worry about, He taught me a few years ago that He was the source. And so guess what? When He gives me a position or a job or whatever to care for my family, that's kind of secondary to what His greater purpose is for me. I didn't place you to just go make some money. I didn't place you in a place only to, you know, in another place it says they were giving in marriage and, you know, raising families and things of that sort. That's all the basics of just living. But as you are doing that, you still have a greater calling. You are still to spread holiness around. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to get up and preach. It doesn't mean that you have to become the Sunday school teacher or the song leader in your congregation. But it does mean that you have to be open to God and saying, Lord, as you have healed me, I am available for you to spread your gospel, to spread your word in the place that you have placed me. Whether it be a smile. You know, a lot of people are going around today and nobody ever even says hi or we love you or you are worthy, you are worth something to God. Nobody even tells them that. So then the enemy begins to work with them and say, you know, nobody loves you. You know, there is so much depression in the world today. There are people who are dealing with, they can't even deal with regular reality. They're living in, I don't want to be too condemning. I want the Spirit to do its work. But I feel He's giving me the liberty to talk right now about the current generations, and it started really probably with my generation, and alternate realities. Video games, Facebook. There's nothing wrong. I'm on Facebook. But you need to know that that's not real. That's not real. What's real is the earth that we stand on, the things that God has put out in nature. The reality is not books. You know, some people read books, and they're all off in their own little world and imagination, and then they want the world to be like what's in their book. It's not like that. You have been placed here to make people see true reality. God among us. God is real. And we're here to prepare for another world. We're not here to have fun in this world. We're not here to find to gain all the pleasures and to enjoy. Now, He has placed things here that we can enjoy. I love music. Obviously, I sing, but I like to play instruments. I love classical music. And there can be some of that is good and can help the soul. But that is not my main purpose for being here. That's not my, I can enjoy it. I love food. I like to cook. I think I've even mentioned before, I like to bake. Since my mother passed, I haven't been able to really bake because that was kind of an intimate place where she showed me those things. And I'm looking to, that's a place in a sense where I'm a little broken still. But God has healing for that. God has healing for every situation in your life if you are honest and will allow Him to touch it. Not just the physical healing. But I think sometimes, honestly, we worry about those, and this is healing service, but if you have another need, if you have an emotional need, if you have if you are depressed, if you don't know why you're even here on this earth, God wants to heal you. He wants to give you His name. He has paid the dowry. He has redeemed it. He has waged the sword. He has gone up to heaven and said, all power is given to you. And you, I want you to be healed so that you can touch the world around you. And those who are broken like you will see a picture of something they've never seen before. I didn't know I could be healed like that, but I see you have been healed. I want that. And guess what? I'm not going to say that there won't be any massacres or there won't be any wars or there won't be any more famines or anything like that. But I will tell you this, you will make the world tolerable. You, as long as the world still exists, you will. I don't even know how to express it, but God wants you. He wants us not to forget our purpose. We are to be preparing and adorning ourselves for when He says, I'm coming back to get you. And when He comes to carry us away, it will be a glorious day. I hope you and me are in that number. If you are broken, don't stay broken today. Let the Lord touch you. Just like hell is enlarging itself, I believe that God has ordained the church to enlarge itself. We're not supposed to be getting smaller. When the Spirit worked from that day of Pentecost, it exploded to where it's still going on 2,000 years later. It should still be exploding. And oh, my brother and sister, if you're not part of the solution, you might be a little bit of a part of the problem. And I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want people to see not me. I want them to see the bride of Christ in me. Jesus, my husband, I'm in His family. I have His authority. I can write checks just like He can. Praise the Lord. A broken world means a healed, whole, and victorious church that is conquering just like her bridegroom. Amen. So let it be.